this morning I'd like to continue on from last week and continue on that theme about the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, what kind of things can start taking place? I think there's a really good example going on right now in Canada as we look at our Indigenous people, and there's been that revival in northern Quebec, and maybe some of you have seen that, and that is wonderful. We're praying that that would be coast to coast, that God would start to move by His Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn again to Acts chapter 2, and the verses we're going to read this time are verses 17 to 21. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, may you add your blessing to your word this morning. Well, this morning I want to continue on with that, the message that we started last week. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, and kind of share what we can expect when the Holy Spirit does get a hold of our lives and what kind of things can happen and take place. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to get our attention, to do a work in our lives, our church, our area. And I just feel that we need to be a little bit more aware of the Holy Spirit and what He's desiring to do in our own lives, in the lives of our church, in the lives of our community. And just be a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking today, and He wants us to hear what He has to say. So that's something we need to realize. The Holy Spirit wants us to hear what He is saying. And I know we're living in a time when we're flooded with information, and sometimes it can be really hard to decipher, well, what's true and what's not true. And I think we need to remember the Holy Spirit is what? He is the Spirit of truth. And so the Holy Spirit wants to speak truth in us. And so living in a world where there's a lot of confusion taking place, a lot of things happening taking place in our world that are not good, Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us truth. And so again, really a good reason that we should be listening to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So He is wanting to speak to us. There's things that He's wanting to do. He's wanting to prepare us and equip us to be ready to move with Him. And I think that's important for us, that we're being sensitive or tuning ourselves into the Holy Spirit, that we might be sensitive to what He is wanting to do at this time and at this season. And it's something that is important. When the Lord is speaking to the churches, especially we see that in the book of Revelations, you'll see a phrase that's repeated often in Scripture and over seven times in the book of Revelation itself. Revelation 3:22, it says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. And so that's a command from the Lord Jesus Himself, telling us we need to be listening as a body of believers, as the church, to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has things to say to us at this very hour. And so may God help us to be more aware of the workings of the Holy Spirit that is working in our lives, working in our churches, working in our area and over our nation. Now, as we look into Acts chapter 2, there's a lot of things it describes for us of things that can happen. It doesn't say they're always going to happen, but it says things that can happen when we see the Holy Spirit gets a hold of people. And that's not an exhaustive list, because there's lots of ways that the Holy Spirit can move upon us. A very common one here in our own church is sometimes you feel people start weeping and crying in a service. And I know a lot of people are very self-conscious about that, but I often tell people when that does happen to you, maybe just kind of look around. You're actually going to see few other people are doing the exact same thing. But sometimes that's when Holy Spirit really gets a hold of us. We begin to cry out to God. Our spirits are moved inside of us, and it causes us to weep. Sometimes there can be healing. Sometimes there can be miracles. Sometimes people can fall under the power of God. Sometimes there can be dancing and shouts of joy, shaking and hearing His voice. And so there's lots of ways the Holy Spirit can touch people. And we're not to say that we know all the ways that God will touch us, because we're all individuals and God knows us as individuals. And so He will touch us in ways that are appropriate to us. And where a lot of times we're comfortable. Sometimes you might move beyond that. But Holy Spirit does move in our lives and touches us in many and different ways. But we're just going to be looking at Acts chapter 2 and just some of the things that are there. Last week we talked about, as the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a people, that there's a new power and boldness that we should be expecting to come into our lives. A new power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Power and boldness to live the Christian life. Power, boldness to share our faith, tell others about Jesus. We also looked at the Holy Spirit desires unity and bringing people together, bringing the body of believers together, bringing a church together to be one accord. We talked about the suddenlies that can come when the Holy Spirit moves and how supernatural events can start taking place. Sometimes it can be a loud sound. Sometimes it can be wind blowing. Sometimes fire. Sometimes rain. Sometimes even people speaking in tongues. And then last we finished with the sign of amazement. That as the Holy Spirit moves upon us, sometimes people can be struck with wonder, with awe, with surprise. And again, there's a purpose in all of this, and that is to lead us to that place to have faith and strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ. And so there's some pretty good examples there that we looked at last week. And for this week, we want to kind of concentrate here in the verses 17 to the end of the chapter, but mostly 17 to 21, as we can see some other things that can take place when the Holy Spirit begins to move on our hearts and on our lives. And so the very first thing there is, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, we should expect more, even a pouring out of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we get a little touch of the Holy Spirit over our lives. And those little touches should be causing us to say, give me more, Lord. I want more. And then that, you know, a pouring out can then happen. Acts 2:17, in the last day, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. And this will be a sign that we are living in the last days before the return of Christ. It started on the day of Pentecost and is going to continue to be poured out throughout history until the time of Christ's return. And so those pouring out events will be usually major times when the Holy Spirit is poured out in an unrestrained way, like the emptying out of a large container. It's going to be poured out in a great measure, and people basically are going to get soaked. They're going to get drenched with the Holy Spirit, because it's going to affect many when it gets poured out in a full way. Let me tell you, you will get wet. And it's going to affect all people, Christians and non-Christians alike. And again, that's the mercy of God, because God desires what? All the world to be saved. Not just some people, but all the world. So as He begins to pour out His Spirit, He'll pour it out on people who are not Christians as well, with the purpose that they begin to look to God, change your ways, and find salvation. I'm always reminded when I think of the Holy Spirit being poured out of a little girl that was in our church. And she shared with me this dream that she had. And it was a dream where she saw buckets of love. And she said it was being poured out. She said, first I saw it over Saddle Lake, and that God was visiting every home, and He was pouring out His bucket of love. And then He kept moving. He was coming into the town of St. Paul, and He was taking His bucket, and He would pour a bucket over every home. And I was saying, like, man, that sounds like a God thing, a little child that would come up with that idea. But what does the Bible say? He's going to pour out His Holy Spirit upon us. So I'm believing for that. I really am. I was thinking as well of a vision that God gave me of a tidal wave. And being right here in Alberta, landlocked Alberta, and I remember that vision that I saw, and it was coming from the west and coming towards us. And as I looked at that huge wave and thinking, like, what's a wave doing in Alberta? And seeing that wave, and I looked to the south, and as far as I could see to the south, there was that wave. And when I looked to the north, I could see that that wave was still there. And I realized that everyone is going to get hit. And that's what the promise of God is. I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit. Now, whether people decide to serve Christ or not, that's going to be their decision. But everyone is going to get hit by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can expect that to happen, that when we see it touching individual lives, to be praying, God, I want to see it fall over our communities. I want to see it fall all over our town. And something that would affect all people, Christians and non-Christians alike. And I believe that's what God is wanting to do. He's getting us ready to pour out his Spirit in a far greater way than we have ever seen. But the purpose of bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's always the purpose of the Holy Spirit moving, is the ultimate purpose is to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. And so as the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, and then starts working in us, there can come become the effect where God starts working in everybody, our whole communities, not just our churches, but our communities. And certainly we pray for that. We pray there would be a pouring out over this whole Lakeland region where we would experience the power of God. Then secondly, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of people, you will see people start to prophesy. Acts 2, 17 to 18. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Well, prophecy is about speaking the wonders of God. Prophecy includes speaking about things that are in the future. It can also include things speaking about the will of God for a person's life or over a certain situation a person may be going through. It can be speaking words of guidance, encouragement. And again, it's meant to uplift and encourage people. It's to be a positive experience, not a negative experience in one person's life. And so prophecy is something that's by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He works in ways beyond our human wisdom and understanding and reveals truths to us that no one would know except for God. And prophecy can be a very wonderful thing. So it's a divine communication that will draw people to have greater faith in God, to be encouraged in their faith, to draw even unbelievers to recognize that, you know, God's real. And so prophecy even can become a wonder. Where people wonder, how could that person know what was going on in my life? You don't know. It's being revealed by God himself. And so that's a great gift. And interestingly, it says it's for the whole family. It's for your sons and daughters. It's for men and it's for women. And so God said, I want to pour out my Spirit on everybody. And even in the area of prophecy. And I was thinking this morning, I said, wouldn't it be cool if one of those kids kind of said, hey, Pastor, I believe I'm supposed to have a word to speak over the church today. Wouldn't that blow our minds away? Or maybe one of those kids would say, Pastor, I had a dream. Can I share a dream that I had about this church? And well, you know what? The Bible says to expect that God will move upon every age. And we want to see that. And so one should not be surprised when the Holy Spirit starts speaking through maybe some of our children, maybe some of our youth. A lot of times we just, oh, it'll just be us adults. Well, God said, no, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, all people. And that's on our sons and our daughters and our young people, adults. And that's a good thing. So when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, prophecy is one of those things that start happening. People start prophesying over other people. Encouraging words that only God would know that encourages us and builds us up. And then thirdly, connecting right with that, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, we should expect people to have dreams and visions. And again, that's for all ages, not just adults. It's for all ages. Acts 2:17, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So we're all included in there, from very young to the very old, that God is going to be speaking to us, whether through a dream or through a vision, and showing us the things of God. And you can think of how many places in the world over these last few years where people have been testifying that they came to faith in Christ because they had a dream or they had a vision of Jesus. And one of those places where that happened a lot was in Iran. And right now, Iran is going through a lot of persecution. There's been a lot of deaths that are happening there as the government cracks down on the people that were protesting there. And so you need to be praying for Iran. But you know what? God's already ahead of them, because he was already reaching out to them that many of them would come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray that, Lord, I really pray that here in Canada that we won't have to go through something like that before we start responding to Jesus Christ, because there's been a response there, they tell us, in the millions of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Man, we need that right here in Canada, where we would see millions of people start coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that can happen through dreams, through visions. And when the Holy Spirit begins to move, there will be dreams. There will be visions. Your kids will start telling you of some dreams that they've had. And you as adults, you'll start having some dreams and visions as well, where God is speaking to you and through you. And if you are having those kinds of dreams, I'd love to hear about them as well. Email me, text me, or if you see me in person, share with me. Because I know already there's been a number of people of different age groups that have been sharing with me about dreams that they've seen, even about this church. And they've been quite interesting, quite encouraging. And so God is doing that. He's just beginning to move upon us. And we're believing that God is going to bring in a harvest of many people that will come to faith in Christ. And so be attentive to those dreams that God is giving to you. And be attentive to your own dreams. And because they are going to increase as the Holy Spirit begins to move upon us even more. Then fourthly, there will be wonders that will take place. Events that will cause curiosity, amazement. Again, always with the purpose that the Holy Spirit moves is with a purpose to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, it will encourage us, strengthen us, but the ultimate purpose is to bring more people into faith to Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 here, it says, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day that the Lord arrives. And already, you know, we're already hearing about blood moons, and that we've already had some of those already take place. But we haven't seen the sun turn dark, and so except for an eclipse, but it's talking more than an eclipse taking place here when that sun turns dark. And so it's talking about the very end of the end before the Lord arrives. And so when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, starts to move, wonders will start happening, and they will continue to increase right up until the day that the Lord returns. There will be events that can be beautiful things take place. I kind of look at the northern lights of what's been happening of late. Great intensity that's been happening over these last 2 years. And so the events can be beautiful. Events can be unexpected. Events that can be unexplainable. Events that can even be scary. Lots of surprises in nature that have been happening around our world, in the earth and also in the heavens. And again, this is with a purpose to help people recognize the time that they're living in, to draw their attention that, yes, there must be a God, and that people would start turning to the Lord. So start to expect some surprises, some changes that will take place. Even as we pray for our governments, And here, right now, our governments are in a mess all around the world. Expect to see a change in the government plans. Expect to see some changes. Expect to see some changes of destiny, changes in the earth, changes in the heavens. And already a lot of those things are happening. But again, as it draws that place, to make sure your faith is in the right place. The wonders, the signs will take place in increasing measure. The Bible says, until the day that Christ returns. Again, the sun going dark, moon blood red. So the Bible is warning us to be ready to meet the Lord, because it'll be a suddenly, but not without events that are warning us, giving us hints that his coming is very soon. And, you know, you look back at revivals throughout history, that's one of the things you will see in revivals that always came out, that people were encouraged to realize that, you know, the Lord's return could really be any day. And to make yourself ready. That's what was important, to make oneself ready. And so we're believing, as we look at the signs of the times today that are happening, I think that we are really there, that the Lord's coming really could be any day. But the purpose of all of that is to draw people to faith in Jesus Christ. And then lastly, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you can expect salvations. People coming to faith in Christ. People that we never thought possible, even relatives, friends, even some of our wayward children, believers, are brought back to faith. Because you see that the work of the Holy Spirit ultimately is about souls, drawing people's attention to faith and to salvation. Acts 2:21, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, that's really the most important work of the Holy Spirit, is to draw people to faith in Jesus Christ. And as we look back to our first point from last week, the Holy Spirit will empower us, give us boldness to do what? To witness to people about Jesus, that they may be saved. And so it kind of does a full circle here, comes back to the part, what's important here? Salvation. The Holy Spirit is going to be working in people's lives to bring others into the faith of Jesus. And so that's a very important role of the Holy Spirit, drawing people to be saved, to come to faith in Jesus. And this will happen on an individual basis. As we as individuals share our faith, we'll begin to see that people respond to that. And we're able to lead them in a prayer of faith, and that they might find salvation. But also, as we do that more and more, and as the body of Christ starts doing that together, then we can start reaching multitudes, where we'll see many, many, many people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Interesting, some of these dreams that people have shared with me, from little kids to adults in our church, many of them had dreams, and they say, you know what, this church is too small, Pastor. I had a dream, and it was much bigger. I saw more and more people coming into this place. And I think that's pretty cool. I think God's given us a hint. He's given us a hint to say, I'm about to do something. I am working. I do want to bring more and more people to faith in Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we can see multitudes. We see here in the day of Pentecost, what was the result? It says 3,000 people responded to faith. It was no longer no house church. It was a big, big church. And that's what God desires to do. Acts 2:41, those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And how did they get that response? It's interesting, as all these signs of the Holy Spirit happened, what was the response? Peter got up and began to preach about Jesus. So again, that's what we see. The Holy Spirit is working, does all kinds of signs and wonders, but there's a purpose to preach about Jesus, to tell others about Jesus, that we might see people respond to Jesus Christ and faith, and that they might repent of their sins and turn to him. And you know, may we never forget the importance of reaching out to people for salvation, to testify, to lift up the name of Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit will inspire us to do, from when we come, even in church, when we come together and we start to worship, there can be that sensation inside of you that just makes you want to sing as loud as we can. And that's one thing that you are known for as a congregation. A lot of new people tell me that, like, gee, your people kind of like to sing. And I kind of respond back, well, doesn't the people at your church you go to like to sing? And they say, well, not really. Well, who inspires that? Holy Spirit begins to inspire that. So that's a good thing. But as we testify of Jesus, we promote Jesus and make sure that Jesus is our message. That's the most important message. And as we do that, Holy Spirit begins to speak to people's hearts. Acts 2:37, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? So when the Holy Spirit moves, people are going to be convicted of their sins, going to be convicted of their evil ways. That's going to result in repentance, a change in one's way, and a profession of faith in Christ. You know, whether the Holy Spirit's at work in our own lives or whether he's at work in all people's lives, he always deals with sin. He always deals with our need to repent of our sins. And even as we come to that place and we invite Jesus Christ into our life, there still should be times when we feel Holy Spirit convicting us of things that we're doing that he does not bring him pleasure. And so he will convict us and say, you need to stop this. You need to turn from this way and start serving me with your all. And so he will do that. And we see that in this case as Peter began to preach, their hearts were pierced with conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they began to repent of their sins and call out to God. And that's what true faith really is. You know, true salvation will not take place until a person responds to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and repents of their way, choosing to no longer live in sinful ways. Sometimes, you know, we say a little prayer, and if that prayer is from the heart, then that's great. But without repentance, we're not going to see the Lord. We need that repentance and a changed life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He works in people's hearts, convicting them, convincing them of their need of salvation. And so as we are looking for the Holy Spirit to move, he will move. And as he does move, you're going to see more and more salvations. And I really do pray that we would see a multitude of salvations right here in this place, in this church. I'd love to see our walls being broken and a new building being built. I would love to see more people in our whole area coming and responding to faith in Jesus Christ. And we are seeing the starts of that. We're just waiting for as the Lord starts to pour it out. You know, when you pour a bucket out, it starts little. And then when you really put it, then comes a big splash. And then you really get covered. Well, that's what we're looking for. So when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you're going to see salvations. You're going to see many of those people you've been praying for suddenly turn from their ways and come to faith in Christ. You'll start to see those people that maybe have walked away from the faith, maybe even your children that have walked away from the faith, suddenly make a quick turnaround and get back serving the Lord and serving him better than they ever served him before. That's what Holy Spirit can do and wants to do. That we might see, to me, I'm believing for hundreds more people. Maybe my faith isn't big enough. Maybe I should be believing for thousands to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I know with some of those dreams, it must be very close to the bigger number that people have been sharing with me. But that's what Holy Spirit does. Now, that's not all the things that Holy Spirit does. We're just using Acts chapter 2 as just a starting point for us to realize what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And that's something I trust that you're wanting as well, that you want to be sensitive to what Holy Spirit is wanting you to do, and that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our life, and that he would really get a hold of us. And, you know, as he does that, you'll find new power and authority. You'll find new boldness. May even find a new prayer language and tongues. You may be amazed. You may experience wonders or dreams, visions, prophecy, conviction, all those things. Seeing salvations, people coming to faith in Christ where you've shared maybe hundreds of times before and like your success rate is almost like zero. that nobody's responding to, all of a sudden changing where everyone you talk to, all of a sudden saying, yes, I would like to know the Lord. I would like to give my life to Jesus Christ. And so we're believing for those kinds of changes. It was kind of interesting this morning, as I was looking over my message, I just quickly looked at some emails there, and one of them was from the King of Kings Church in Jerusalem. And today is a Jewish celebration, kind of celebrating the New Year of Trees that is celebrated on Beshavat. Probably not the full pronunciation, but anyway, it's celebrated every year on the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Shavuot, which I guess would be today. And it was kind of interesting to see what they kind of included, you know, hey, happy this day for all you people. But I kind of just thought to read a little bit about it. And basically what it does, it celebrates the agricultural cycle for trees, the tithing of fruit, and it's symbolic of newness, both in the land and in our personal spiritual lives. It serves as a special opportunity to come into God's presence and to ask God how he desires to restore, renew, and refresh our hearts as we enter a new season. It's also an important time, it says, to ask God to align our hearts with his concerning the times and the seasons we are in. I kind of thought, well, could the Holy Spirit be speaking to us about a new season? Here's the scripture that they quoted. It's been spoken over you a number of times as well. It's from Isaiah 53:19. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. That kind of got me thinking this morning that, yeah, I really think Holy Spirit is really wanting to usher into us a new season. New season of restoration, new season of renewal, new season of refreshing with God through the Holy Spirit aligning our hearts with his. And so this morning as we close, I just thought that we could pray that the Lord would indeed do that over our lives. And so Holy Spirit, we welcome the moving of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We welcome you to come and bring us into a new season. There's so many people here that have gone through some tough times, difficult times. So many people that are hurting, discouraged, and down. And so, Lord, we're praying for a new season, a new time of revelation, a new time of understanding that your Holy Spirit can bring into our lives. We pray that which the enemy has taken, that which the enemy has stolen from our lives, we pray in Jesus' name that would be brought back. And that, Lord, you would restore the seasons that the enemy has taken away from us as a church and also as individuals. And we're praying that, Lord, that you would renew us, that you would enlarge our territory. And, Lord, that you would do things that would surprise us and that you'd move and stir our hearts again for what stirs yours. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're already doing this. You're already working in us. Keep working in us, we pray. We welcome that moving of your Holy Spirit. We want to experience what you would have for us in our own personal lives and also in our church and also in this area. God, we're thankful that you're moving in this area. And we're praying that, God, that there would be a move from coast to coast of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, I just come against the assignments of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I break those assignments. And Lord, I declare a new day, a new season over your people. And that, Lord, again, that which was taken or stolen from them, that which didn't take place or that which didn't happen because the enemy got in there, Lord, we call that back again, that those giftings, those blessings, those rewards will come to your people in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just pray restoration. Lord, I even speak that about health. There's been some folks that, Lord, their health has been robbed. Lord, you've taken their health away. Not you, Lord, but the enemy has taken their health away. So, Lord, we're speaking a restoration of health, a restoration of strength, a new excitement, a new boldness, Lord, to rise up in all of us in Jesus' name. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We may not understand everything about you. We may not understand everything that you might do. But we are welcome you to move in our hearts because we know that you will draw us closer to Jesus. We know that we will see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we welcome that. We welcome that.